قال اجعلني على خزائن الأرض. يوسف said, place me over all the resources of the land. Meaning, give me the treasures. The word khazana, literal meaning is such a place where things are protected, like the grains are protected, meaning a storage. Appoint me at those places where things are stored. Inni hafizun. Indeed, I can properly guard it. Certainly, I know how to manage. Alimun, I have the necessary knowledge. You see, he had the dunya knowledge too. We don't know where he learnt it, but he had this knowledge as well. Now, we think if someone gains religious ilm, then he does not need to gain the worldly knowledge. No training, nothing at all, huh? And over here, we see, Inni hafizun alim. Not only I can protect, and I also have knowledge. Now, this was not knowledge of the Quran, of Allah's book. Why? Because the Torah too was revealed after him. So, which knowledge was this? And also, you see, Injil came later. So, it does not refer to the divine books. Here, it means knowledge of protecting the grain, that I know its way how to protect it. You see, a mu'min is not greedy for any authority or a post or a rank. So from here, اجعلني على خزائن الأرض, we learn that seeking of an office or position with the government is permissible under particular conditions, as was done by Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam when he sought to be appointed to supervise and manage the treasures of the land. But in the light of details regarding this matter, when it is known about a particular office that no one else would be able to manage it well, and one's honest self-assessment indicates that he will be able to discharge the responsibilities of that office well enough, and that there is in it no danger of getting involved in some sin, then this would be a situation in which taking the initial step of seeking the office is also permissible, subject to the condition that the reason for doing this should not be the love of recognition, power and wealth. Instead, the main purpose behind this should be to serve Allah's creation genuinely and to carry to them their rights with justice and equity, as it was with Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam, whose sole purpose was no other but this. But wherever such a situation does not prevail, then we see the Holy Prophet ﷺ has prohibited the seeking of any government office on one's own, and he did not give an office to anyone who himself made a request for it. It appears in a hadith of Sahih Muslim that the Holy Prophet ﷺ said to Sayyidina Abdurrahman bin Samura, never seek an office of authority or responsibility, because even if you get it by asking for it, the support of Allah Ta'ala, through which you could stay safe from slips and errors, will not be there. And if you get an office without the asking and seeking, then help and support of Allah Ta'ala will be there. Why? Because of which you will be able to fulfill the rights of that office as due. In the same way, we come to know if any noble companion ever requested for anything, then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stopped them from it, that you're not worthy of it. As said to Hazrat Abu Zar Ghifari, that you can never decide between two people, you do not have this capability. So you see, if one is worthy and he is being offered, so he can request that, yes, I want that specific field. Also, you see, the Egyptian king was a mushrik or a kafir or atheist. He was not a Muslim. But Yusuf alayhi salam, why did he accept the duty or rank under him? Is it permissible to accept a rank in a non-Muslim government? Now, he knew that the king of Egypt is a disbeliever. So is his staff. The country was going to be hit by a famine. Now, at that time, selfish people would have no mercy for the creation of Allah, and millions would die of hunger. Therefore, Yusuf alayhi salam himself made a request for that office of responsibility. So even today, if someone feels that there is an office of government for which there is no one available, especially someone who would discharge the responsibilities of that office as due, and his honest self-assessment assures that he would be able to discharge the responsibilities of that office as due, then it is permissible for him to seek that office. But this will not be so as to satisfy his own desire for recognition, power, or wealth. Okay? Instead, it has to be for the purpose of serving people. And also, the question that the seeking, that should we work, is it permissible to accept an office of a kafir government? We come to know that Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam, he accepted to serve under the king of Egypt, though he was a disbeliever. So this tells us that accepting an office of government headed by a disbelieving or sinning ruler is permissible under particular conditions. Okay? And for this we have the example of Yusuf alayhi salam. Now, famine is about to strike and Yusuf alayhi salam knows how to save these people from hunger and illness. So he does not hide this knowledge that these are disbelieving nation, disbelievers, I won't help them, no. So we see he took such work in his hands which would save people from a great loss in future. So he said that he is Hafizun, an honest guard, Alimun, having knowledge and wisdom about the job he is to be entrusted with. The Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam asked the king to appoint him as minister of finance for the land, responsible for the harvest storehouses in which they would collect produce for the years of drought, which he told them will come. And he wanted to be the guard so that he could dispense the harvest in the wisest, best and most beneficial way. The king accepted Yusuf alayhi salam's offer, for he was eager to draw Yusuf close to him and to honor him. It is said the chief trustee and manager of a national treasury needs to do two things. Number one, he should not allow government property to be wasted. In fact, should collect, conserve and protect it fully. Then he should see to it that it is not spent on non-deserving people or on false heads of expenditure. Number two, he should not fall short in spending what has to be spent and where it has to be spent. And at the same time, he should not spend more than the quantum of the need. And you see, here we come to know, for any rank, the basic qualities are, number one, to be amin, trustworthy. Number two, hafiz, the one who guards. And then, alim, that you have to have knowledge. Anyone who is given a duty or some responsibility, any rank, so these three qualities should be in him. He should be trustworthy. Number two, he can protect or who can guard. For example, if he has some wealth, so he does not use it in places where it is not needed. He should not waste it. Also, secrets that comes under this. If there are some secrets that he is not supposed to expose them. Otherwise, it causes loss instead of any benefits. You see, Islam's husn, beauty is that you leave that which does not concern you. It comes in this hadith, min husne Islam il mar'e tarkahu ma la ya'nihi. Translation, the beauty of a person's Islam is in leaving that which does not concern him. The beauty of a person's Islam is in leaving that which does not concern him. And then thirdly, ilm, that is increase his ilm, talents. Because you see, with ignorance, one cannot serve anyone or progress. Because with ignorance, you will take others towards destruction. It's a poem in Arabic that says, إِذَا كَانَ الْغُرَابُ دَلِيلًا قَوْمٍ سَيَهْدِيهِمْ إِلَىٰ طَرِيقِ الْحَالِكِينَ. Translation, if crows became leaders of a nation, they'd lead them to destruction. Why? Because all the time they're making noise and they have no direction, their activities, if you look, huh? Then said, وَكَذَلِكَ مَكَّنَّا لِيُوسُفَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Thus we established Yusuf in the land. Land here refers to the land of Egypt, meaning such power, authority was given to him that the king did what Yusuf alayhi salam wanted, meaning practically Yusuf alayhi salam had the authority and Yusuf alayhi salam had such a position as one has in his own home. The land of Egypt was under his control, and the reason for this was these qualities of his, that is to be Alim, Hafiz and Amin. يَتَبَوَّأُ مِنْهَا حَيْثُ يَشَاءُ, to live therein any way he wished. Allah Ta'ala says, we gave him this authority, this rank. So a rank is not a wrong thing to have, but it is a trial. Because sometimes those who get it, then they forget their own selves, their reality, and they start to misuse the power. نُصِيبُ بِرَحْمَتِنَا مَنْ نَشَاءُ, we bestow our mercy on whom we please. That is, not only Yusuf alayhi salam, but others too can get it. Like it comes, وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَيَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Allah has promised the believers and those who do righteous deeds that He will surely make them the successors in the land. كَمَا اسْتَخْلَفَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ وَلَيُمَكِّنَنَّ لَهُمْ دِينَهُمُ الَّذِي ارْتَضَى لَهُمْ. And He will definitely make firm their deen for them, the one He chose. But what is the condition? The condition is, with Iman, there should be amal salih. Its two conditions are, number one, ikhlas, sincerity of niyyah, and number two, according to sunnah. If one of them is missing, the promise won't be fulfilled. What are the two conditions? The two conditions that must be fulfilled for the acceptance of righteous deeds are, number one, the intentions while doing such deeds must be totally for Allah's sake only, without any show off or to gain some praise or fame. And number two, such a deed must be performed in accordance with the sunnah of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if any of these two conditions, if even one is missing, the promise won't be fulfilled. نُصِيبُ بِرَحْمَتِنَا مَنْ نَشَاءُ, we bestow our mercy on whom we please. You see where his brothers threw him in the well. And then you see where Allah Ta'ala made him reach, huh? The throne. And it's amazing. Allah is overpowering in his decisions. وَاللَّهُ غَالِبٌ عَلَىٰ أَمْرِهِ. And also you see there is a lesson in this for all of us, where opposition and enmity exceeds its limits, then Allah's mercy begins from there, it descends from there,
and His help comes.
وَلَا نُضِيعُ أَجْرَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ, and we do not let the reward of good people be wasted. Allah Ta'ala says here, we did not let the patience of Yusuf from the harm his brothers exerted on him and being imprisoned because of the wife of the Aziz to be lost. Instead, Allah the Exalted and Most Honored rewarded him with His aid and victory. وَلَا نُضِيُّ أَجْرَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Such good news. Allah says, we don't waste the reward of Muhsineen. And you see, in this entire incident, Yusuf a.s. gets a credit again and again. And what is that, huh? That he is a Muhsin, one who does Ihsan, even if the other person does not, or does some ihsan, even if the other person does or does not, but he goes ahead to do good with the others, doing good to the others without any reward from the others. This is ihsan. What do we do, huh? We are good to people. We show concern. When? When they are good to us. And if others are not good, then we are not good to them as well. We only do what people do to us or what they do to us. We do the same in return. We don't do ihsan. Whereas we see Allah's love, Allah's mercy. إِنَّ رَحْمَةَ اللَّهِ قَرِيبٌ مِّنَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. And Allah's mercy is near who? The Muhsineen. But what do we do? That even if someone does good to us, we don't even thank that person. We think it has humiliation for us, huh? Or it is that person's duty. There is no ihsan, no favor on us. Why should we say thank? Our attribute regarding the others is such. But muhsineen do not even wait that if one does good, then I will do good. No, they're always ready to do good without waiting for the reward, whether one responds back or not.
وَلَأَجْرُ الْآخِرَةِ خَيْرٌ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ.
Yet the reward in the hereafter will be even better for those who believe and are righteous. They continue to do work, fearing Allah, sincerely for Allah, not that they adopted taqwa once and then they just sit relaxed. No, kanu yattaqoon. That is, they keep their duty to Allah till death. They're ones of taqwa. Now a new episode starts. It is said the year of famine has started. The ministerial authority of Egypt having come into the hands of Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam. The first 7 years were, true to the interpretation of the dream, years of great prosperity and well-being for the entire country. Crops were abundant and matching were the efforts to produce and conserve. After that, the second part of this very dream unfolded itself. Came the famine, which continued for full 7 years. Since at that time Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam knew in advance that this famine will continue for 7 years without any break, therefore he made arrangements to have the stock of grains present in the country stored very carefully during the initial year of the famine and saw to it that it remained preserved and protected fully and satisfactorily. As for the local people of Egypt, food, grain, sufficient for their need was stored with them well ahead of the time. When famine spread and people living in areas around Egypt started coming here, it is said Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam set up a working system of selling grains to them, according to which he would not give to one person more than one camel load of grain. So here we come to know that Deen does not tell us that we should not be prepared for any calamity, okay? But be prepared. Now the adjoining areas, they were not prepared, so they were badly affected. But in Egypt, because of Yusuf alayhi salam's services and due to him being Hafizun Alim, there was a lot of produce which not only benefited Egypt but other areas too. And the word spread out that it's cheap here and it is available, so people belonging to other areas, they started coming here. As said earlier, this famine was not limited to Egypt only. It was spread out to areas far away. It is said the land of Canaan, a part of Palestine, the homeland of Sayyidina Yaqub alayhi salam. So even this could not escape the disaster of the famine. Now naturally, the family of Sayyidina Yaqub alayhi salam became anxious. That was a time when news had gone around that Egypt was the place where food grains could be procured on payment. Sayyidina Yaqub alayhi salam had also come to know that the king of Egypt was a man of mercy and would let those who needed it have it. So he asked his sons too to go and get some grains from Egypt. So what happened? وَجَاءَ إِخْوَةُ يُوسُفَ. Yusuf's brothers came. فَدَخَلُوا عَلَيْهِ. And entered his office. That is, several years later, when the famine started and there was no food outside of Egypt, Yusuf's brothers came to Egypt for food and entered his office. And this is, you see, how Allah Ta'ala is planning for Yusuf alayhi salam's brothers to come to Yusuf. And we see the effect of the dream and the reality and the interpretation, how all is interrelated.
وَجَاءَ إِخْوَةُ يُوسُفَ فَدَخَلُوا عَلَيْهِ.
Yusuf's brothers came and entered his office. And also we come to know, he was looking after the grains directly. You see what a rank he has. He's the king's advisor. But he's such a person, but he's dealing with it himself. Such was his concern for this responsibility that he himself used to oversee the sale of food grains. What about our offices? People sit elsewhere. They do not mingle with the masses or public, and they do not know who comes and goes. But over here we see Yusuf alayhi salam. He's there. Directly he's looking after the grain.
فَدَخَلُوا عَلَيْهِ.
and they entered his office. فعرفهم. He recognized them. فهم له منكرون, but they did not recognize him. They did not recognize him and they thought he is some responsible officer of Egypt. And you see, it is obvious that the passage of such a long time would cause great changes in the looks of a person. It could have never occurred to them that a child once thrown in the well could become the king or minister of some country. Therefore, the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam did not recognize him, but Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam did. Therefore, this is what the expression فَعَرَفَهُمْ وَهُمْ لَهُ مُنْكِرُونَ. He recognized them while they were not to recognize him. Here it means this. Then what happened? وَلَمَّا جَهَّزَهُمْ بِجَهَازِهِمْ. And when he had given them their due provisions and they were about to leave, قَالَ أَتُونِي بِأَخِّرْ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَبِيكُمْ. He said, bring your stepbrother to me next time. He said, bring your brother. Now, how did he know about the brother? Because it could be that they asked for a share for their brother too. And maybe he asked about their house or family. Because anyway, he was Alim. He may have asked, how are the things back home? What about your siblings? Where have you come from, etc.? Like any stranger, when we meet, we ask such questions, an introduction. So he found out that his brother was still there, back home, and he's alive. So therefore he said, in future you bring that brother also. بِأَخِلَّكُمْ مِنْ أَبِيكُمْ. Bring your stepbrother to me next time. Now this refers to another reality. بِأَخِلَّكُمْ مِنْ أَبِيكُمْ. That Benjamin bin Yamin was their half-brother from the father's side. It was Yusuf alayhi salam's real brother, but their half-brother from the father's side. أَلَا تَرَوْنَ أَنِّي أُوفِ الْكَيْلَ. Do you not see that I give full measure? وَأَنَا خَيْرُ الْمُنْزِلِينَ. And provide the best hospitality. Now, it is not that he was praising himself, okay? But he was saying this so that they do not hesitate in coming again. Actually, he did not want that they should stop coming. After all, they were his brothers, blood relations. Now, having found out all those details from his brothers, it was only natural that he would think about a second visit by them. And for this purpose, in sight, one obvious arrangement he made was to tell his brothers, what? That, bring your stepbrother to me next time. Do you not see that I give full measure? And provide the best hospitality. And along with it, he gave them a warning as well. What? فَإِن لَمْ تَأْتُونِ بِهِ. But if you do not bring him, فَلَا كَيْلَ لَكُمْ عِنْدِي وَلَا تَقْرَبُونِ. You shall have no grain, nor shall you even come near me again. Why does he say that? Do not come close to me. وَلَا تَقْرَبُونِ. Come near me again, huh? This is to stress that you have to bring your brother next time, and also that if you don't bring him, then it shows that you're liars and there is nothing with me for the liars, that you're getting an extra load of grain by lying. So now prove it, that you have another brother.
قالوا, they replied, سنراود عنه أباه وإنا لفاعلون.
We shall certainly try our best to bring him from his father. We will definitely bring him.
وَقَالَ لِفِتْيَانِهِ.
He said, who?
Yusuf.
لِفِتْيَانِهِ, to his youths. That is, Yusuf told his servants, what?
اِجْعَلُوا بِدَاعَتَهُمْ
فِي رِحَالِهِمْ. To put his brother's money into their saddlebags secretly.
بِدَاعَتَهُمْ.
بِدَا is the portion of wealth kept for future trade. That is the money which they have brought to buy the grains, so put it back in their camel packs.
Rihalihim.
Rahal is a bag or sack in which a traveler puts his luggage, traveling bags. That is, in their sacks you put their money back.
La'allahum ya'rifunaha.
So that they should know.
Izan qalabu.
They should know about it only when they reach ila ahlihim, their family. He made a secret arrangement. He ordered his young workers on the job to collect the money paid by his brothers as the cost of the grains and tie it up secretly with their supplies in the camel packs, in a way that they should remain unaware of it while there, so that when they open their packs, after having arrived home, and they find their cash back in their hands, they may have a reason to return for grains once again. Now it occurred to him that perhaps they may not have anything other than this cash that they had brought. If so, they would be unable to come for the grains again. So that is why he told his workers to put this money back in their sacks again. So all this shows that Yusuf alayhi salam was desirous, intent that they should return, and he wanted that they should come back somehow. فَلَمَّا رَجَعُوا إِلَىٰ أَبِيهِمْ When Yusuf's brothers returned to their father, قَالُوا They said, يَا أَبَانَ مُنِعَ مِنَّ الْكَيْلُ Father, grain is henceforth denied to us. Grain has been withheld from us. No more measure of grain shall we get. فَأَرْسِلْ مَعَنَا أَخَانَ نَكْتَلْ Unless we take our stepbrother with us. Please send our brother with us, so that we may get our measure. وَإِنَّ لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ We take full responsibility for his safety. Now the father said, قَالَ He said, هَلْ آمَنُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ Should I trust you with him? إِلَّا كَمَا أَمِنْتُكُمْ عَلَىٰ أَخِيهِ مِنْ قَبْلُ As I once trusted you with his brother. فَاللَّهُ خَيْرٌ حَافِظًا وَهُوَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ Allah is the best protector and he is the most merciful of the mercy givers. My plans do not avail, but فَاللَّهُ خَيْرٌ حَافِظًا Allah is the best protector. وَهُوَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ And he is the most merciful of the mercy givers. Now here we learn that a mu'min in his daily life or daily speech conversation, he uses these words, what? That Allah is merciful, meaning he remembers Allah Ta'ala. And this is that you will see the difference between a Muslim and a non-Muslim's conversation. That a Muslim, he uses such words, Insha'Allah, MashaAllah, Alhamdulillah, or may Allah bless you, may Allah have mercy on you. Such words are uttered by a Muslim. And these words are exclusive for a Muslim or in an Islamic speech. وَلَمَّا فَتَحُوا مَتَاعَهُمْ When they opened their baggage. Now as soon as they reached home, first they spoke to their father that our brother will go with us the next time. And then they opened their luggage later. And when they opened it, وَلَمَّا فَتَحُوا مَتَاعَهُمْ When they opened their baggage, وَجَدُوا بِذَاعَتَهُمْ رُدَّتْ إِلَيْهِمْ They discovered that their money had been returned to them. They found their money and they were more happy. قَالُوا يَا أَبَانَ مَا نَبْغِي They said, Father, they cried with joy, what more can we ask for? هَذِهِ بِذَاعَتُنَا رُدَّتْ إِلَيْنَا Here is our money returned back to us. What else do we want? Our money has come back to us. Look at our money which is returned to us. وَنَمِيرُ أَهْلَنَا We will buy more food for our family. وَنَحْفَظُ أَخَانَا We will take good care of our brother. وَنَصْطَادُ كَيْلَ بَعِيرٍ And obtain an extra camel load of grain. Look at this word, نَمِيرُ Mira. It means to bring the grain, to bring the grains from one place to another. Transportation of food grain. Namir. This word has the meaning of bringing the grains inside this word. Okay, it means, it does not just mean grain or provision, but Namir has the meaning of bringing or transporting the grains. You know, I was just thinking that if you notice, Allah Ta'ala says in the beginning, this is Ahsanul Qasas. And then he says, this Quran is revealed in Arabic language. And have you noticed in this surah, the very difficult words used in this surah. And here Allah Ta'ala is giving the example of the conciseness or preciseness of the language.
Namir. Just one word, huh? Namir. And it means the transportation of food, grains. And here, if you see, they're telling what three benefits to the father. Zalika kailun yaseer. This way it will be easy to add another camel load of grain.